What is up, you guys? It is Reverend JHC3 from World Talk Monday. Just giving you a quick word before we jump into the show. You know, as I was growing up, I heard my former pastor, the late Reverend Dr. Fred K. Haney Jr., say on many of occasions, sometimes our disappointments are nothing more than God's appointments. Meaning, some things that we look at as bad, God is only turning it around for our good. Now, if you're a true follower of Reverend JHC3 Ministries, you have heard me say that for over the last few years in my closing words. And when I was younger, I didn't understand what he meant by that. I didn't understand what that statement meant. But as I've gotten older and as I've went through some things, I understood what sometimes our disappointments is nothing more than God's appointments. Sometimes the things that we're looking at as, Lord, why did you allow this to happen? Lord, why did you allow this to happen? Is really God's way of protecting you from something that you can't see. Like, let me give you an example. Let's say you're running late for work. You're mad because you're running late. You get to the stoplight. The stoplight is red, and it's taking forever to turn green. You're aggravated. You finally get to your job with the last second to spare. And when you walk in, you hear them talking about, you know what, man, about 5 seconds early, about 5 minutes ago, there was a wreck in that same direction as you was heading. If we would have just gotten there 5 minutes earlier, that could have been you. Sometimes our disappointments are nothing more than God's appointments. Meaning some things that we look at is bad. God is only turning it around for our good. So, yo, let's kick off the show. Let's go, Daisy.
What is up? What is up? What is up? Everyone, everyone, everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week for your favorite Monday night show, and I'm not talking about Monday Night Football because that's over. I'm talking about your favorite show, my favorite show, Real Talk Monday. And y'all, I got my girl, Miss Tevis, up in the building with me. How you doing, sis?
I'm good. How are you?
It's been a day. It has been a day.
I understand.
So to our Real Talk Monday fan, if you notice, you will see that we are not on the Real Talk Monday page today. We are trying to get access back to that. Just bear with us. We have made a new page, but right now we can't really go live from it because it is brand new. So just bear with us. We working on it, y'all. I promise y'all. We working. So, but right now, what we're going to do for y'all is we about to play y'all a little bit of the theme song. Let's go. What is up? What is up? What is up? Everyone, everyone, everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week for Real Talk Monday. Right. Let us go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that you have done and all that you are continuing to do for us in our life. Lord, we'd ask as you continue to bless us and keep us in your holy and divine care. Bless this soul on today, Lord. Let us be not only be godly, but let us be real as well. Let us be authentic. Let us be the vessel that you use so that your name gets the glory, your name gets the honor, and your name gets the praise. And these men bless us in your son Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, Tevis, I'm going to let you tell them what we're talking about on tonight.
Okay, and I want to tell you too, when you were playing the theme song, I was completely blacked out. So I don't know what that was about, but it may show being blacked out once you, once you watch the recording.
I got you.
But we're back on. Like, I can see you now. So I just wanted to give you that.
Okay.
So today we're going to be family news, creating health. And with that, we may have a special guest pop on. We may not. But I chose this topic because as I've gotten older, I feel like creating healthy boundaries is important, whether it's with family, friends, or your coworkers. So I thought this would be a good topic to talk about because, you know, we all go through our things with family and friends and boundaries with our children, as well as our spouses and parents as we get older. We're going to talk about that, family issues and creating healthy boundaries.
All right. So, Tevis, I'll start it off with the questions tonight, and then we'll go from there. All right. So, how would you define personal healthy boundaries? How would you define it?
So, for me, I think that, like, when I hear the word boundaries, you think about walls, right, being built that separate you from other people. In a sense, that's true. But boundaries aren't just necessarily a bad thing. They're important because it creates healthy relationships, balanced relationships. They're also a crucial part of, like, maintaining your identity, your mental health, and your physical well-being. To me, boundaries can include restrictions and physical actions, such as asking a roommate or a partner not to look through your phone or interrupt you when you're working from home, or, you know, even with your child being at home with you. Like, if a lot of people, when their children are toddlers, they want to interrupt, or young children want to interrupt when mom is talking to somebody or on the phone. You have to teach your child when mommy is on the phone, when daddy is on the phone, like, you can't interrupt. And if it's really important, just say, excuse me, right? That's a boundary. You're teaching boundaries at that age. So not necessarily just in your relationships. They're needed in the workplace with your coworkers, your managers, because unhealthy boundaries at work can also, like, follow you home, right? And reduce the quality of your personal life, including dating. So when I think about healthy boundaries or what boundaries are, I think about just creating those healthy spaces between me and those that I love, because I don't want to be ran over. And sometimes my tolerance can only take so much. And if I don't have the power to say no, then I'm going to get overwhelmed. And when I get overwhelmed, I check out, you know. So that's what I think about when I think about healthy boundaries.
I would agree with that. That's sometimes where you have to learn to say no as well. That's a healthy boundary. You have to learn that, you know what, it's okay to say no. It's okay to say, you know what, I'm not really feeling it today. I'm not really feeling like doing this today. And stick with your no.
Right.
And stick with it and stand beside it. Be like, mm-hmm. You know what? These are my boundaries. These are the boundaries that I'm setting. And if you can't accept that, then, yo, that's on you.
Right.
But I think a lot of times where we mess up is we allow how other people feel to affect how we operate.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Especially when you are a people pleaser, like,
right.
You find yourself being like, you know what, I want everybody to be happy with me. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to start no trouble, but
mm-hmm.
One thing that I've learned is that, like, you know what, as I've gotten older, it's like, you know, I am at that point to where it's either you or me. And in my 34 years of life, I'm finally at that point to where I'm choosing me. And if what you are doing is not bringing me peace, then, yo, there's the door.
Yep. That's true. I tell one of my clients that I coach a few years ago that was her thing. She wasn't good with telling people no. And because of that, she was getting overwhelmed, getting frustrated, you know, and, you know, you forget about yourself, you know, and I hear people say that, you know, this is just what I'm used to doing. I've been doing this for X amount of years. Well, that's okay. You don't have to spend the last 30, 40 years of your life doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's going to be mad. And if they are, it's temporary, because anybody that loves you is going to respect your thoughts, your feelings, your rest, your time, your budget, your finances, whatever, you know. So, yeah, I completely agree with you, what you said also.
You know, it's funny that you said that, because last week, literally, I went through a thing where anybody that knows me knows last week was one of the hardest weeks all week for me, because of the simple fact of I was sick pretty much all week last week. Monday, Tuesday, I was sick. Wednesday, I went back to work. Should not have went back to work on Wednesday. I made it maybe a couple of hours, then left work sick on Wednesday. Did not go to work on Thursday, and then pushed myself to go to work on Friday. And get on Friday, lay down, get some rest. While I'm resting on Friday, I get a phone call from a older pastor that's a good friend of mine, that is a mentor of mine, calls my phone, asks me, can I preach for him on Sunday morning? Now, because of who it was, my response is, yes, sir, I'll be here. I have no problem. But also with that, there was a time that I had already scheduled to take off to go to another function. But because of me being sick, I had to look at the fact of, if I keep this time off, that's really going to jack up my vacation days. And I really ain't got the time to really jack up my vacation days like that. So as hard as it was for me, I had to make a phone call and let them know, as much as I want to be there, and I apologize that I cannot, because of me being sick all this week, vacation that I already had scheduled just got ate up. Ran into the guy yesterday, ran into the pastor yesterday, and I apologized to him for me not being able to be there at the end of this month. And his response was, things happen. He said, I totally understand.
That's right.
We'll work it out and we'll get you another time. But for me, I'm one of those that when somebody asks me to do something, I'm used to being like, yep, I can get it done. Consider it done. But this time I just had to be honest with myself and be like, this is not one of them times.
Yeah, I get it. Is it hard to create those boundaries with people you are close to? Do you feel like it's hard to create healthy boundaries with people you're close to versus people that you may not be, like coworkers?
Oh, most definitely. Because the ones you're close to, they're going to throw that guilt trip on you. I've known you since you was a baby. You going to tell me no? I've known you since you've been this young. And then once they throw that guilt trip, your next response is, you know what, you right, let me go on and do what you need me to do. And that's something that I dealt with for the longest.
Yeah. I definitely think it's harder to do it with family, because they can sometimes make you feel guilty. Even if they don't intend to, they kind of will. And I also think that sometimes they disregard it, like you didn't say it or like you didn't ask. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, there was a situation in my family, and the two people kept telling me things that were going on in their relationship. And I didn't want to hear it because I didn't want to be in the middle. Right. And I was like, I'm trying to find a husband. Okay. And y'all laying all y'all stressors and burdens on me. Like, I don't want to, because, and then I didn't want to be in the middle. And then if the female told me, the male would be like,
you're going to turn her against me.
You're going to turn her against me, you know? So I just had to say, look, no more, no more. I love you guys, but it puts me in a hard space making me feel some kind of way, making you all feel some kind of way, don't, right? And they respected it. It's always harder for the female versus the male, but they have really done good at keeping me at bay. And if I'm in anywhere in the perimeter of something about to happen, I remove myself from the situation immediately because I just don't want any parts of it. And so, you know, that is important. And I also think even with my daughter, and it's just been me and her, but even with our communication both ways, I have to respect her boundaries. When we have heated discussions, she has to respect mine. Sometimes
it falls. You mean it ain't one of those, you a kid, you ain't got no boundaries type thing?
Well, I think because I never wanted my daughter's voice to be watered down. I need her to understand there's power in words. There's power in her voice. So I want her to express how she feels, but you do it respectfully. You see what I'm saying? So that's kind of what I've taken. And sometimes they forget that they are the kids still, but you know, I just have to remind her, and she has to remind me too, even though she is a teenager, that she needs to express herself and that she wants me to listen to her and not be in her personal space if we're arguing or anything like that, you know. And I think those are triggers that come from, you know, the fights that she had got in her first year, you know, her second year of high school and all that. It's just those boundaries that needs to be respected. So I think that's important. Again, we do well for the most part, but we do fall short sometimes, you know. So
yeah, we all human.
So we are human, you know. And then as far as work is concerned, it's not really hard for me to set boundaries at work.
Oh, for sure.
I have a friend who I feel that it is. This person can work 8 to 15 hours. Sometimes not getting off until like he may go in at 2 or 5 o'clock. Sometimes he may not get off until 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock next morning, and then has to go be at work at 2 or 5 the next day, depending on what day it is. And I have encouraged him, let your supervisor know what time you got home, because they're getting these emails and these calls and they expect you to be at work at 2 and 5. You ain't even got 8 hours of sleep yet. You are not going to be efficient. You're going to physically break down. You're going to mentally stroke out. And emotionally, you are not going to be in a space of a healthy relationship with anybody. You know what I'm saying? So I think that he is a people pleaser in a lot of ways. It doesn't want to disappoint, but he's got to also understand that he's not Superman. You know what I'm saying? And I have been encouraging him to create healthy boundaries with everybody in his space. You know what I'm saying? So for some people, it is a challenge for them to create healthy boundaries with anybody. And then some people, like I said, it's harder with family and easier with coworkers and friends. So, yeah. I agree. Man.
Like for men, that is harder for us to get is like that we are not Superman. Because mm-hmm. we have been brought up to be under that mindset of you just got to keep going. You got to keep going. You got to keep going.
And that's what he said. That's what he said. But it ain't healthy.
Trust me, I understand it. I know it ain't healthy, but
it ain't healthy.
But in all honesty, that's the society that we live in. Mm-hmm. With females, with women, it is y'all have a safe space to where y'all can break down and decompress.
Some of us.
Yeah.
Because I don't always have that. Now, maybe people that have two adults in the home, but even when I want to break down and cry, sometimes I can't. You know, even when I want to relax, sometimes I can't. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I have my three jobs, really, my business, my main job, and my little part-time job. And I usually do that 2 hours every day when I get off work. And then on Fridays, I do it until 10 after I get off work. And then Saturdays, I'll do it for, you know, 6 to 8 hours. But this Saturday, I didn't do it. I didn't want to do it. And I didn't want to. And then today I could have did it. But guess what? I didn't want to. Because sometimes I just need to do nothing. And so, yeah, sometimes, James, I didn't mean to cut you off. Sometimes we women do have the time and the space to do that, but some of us that are mom and dad and carry all the bills, we can't always do that. You want to highlight what caller said? Thank you, Tevis. Some of us have safe spaces to break down. Yeah, some of us do. Some of us don't. Some of us is short-lived. Like, sometimes I want to say, like, I just want to quit. But I say it, and it's about 30 minutes, and then I'm back grinding again. You know what I'm saying? Different. So, and men always have that. That's right. We all don't.
Now, the reason why I say that is society makes it to the point to where y'all can have that safe space. It seems like sometimes it's more acceptable for a woman to have that space than it is for a man.
Yeah, for to have man, that. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you good. For no, a man, no, it's like for a man, it's like suck it up and get over it. Yes. You still got to keep on going. Mm-hmm. Like one monkey don't stop no soul.
Right.
Like for me, for instance, today. Trust and believe me, today was one of the craziest days of my life where everything that I have worked hard for was set down in a few hours. Mm-hmm. But I pouted for a couple of minutes, went in the gym, wiped it out, worked out my frustration, ran it out, walked it out, worked it out, then came home and I'm like, all right, bet. Now I done dealt with it that way. Now it's time to get back to work to build everything back up again. Mm-hmm. It's like you got a few minutes to where, right. Because society ain't going to give you that. Society right. Going to be like, okay, babe, look, all right, we ain't caring about what you're going through right now. Mm-hmm. You still got to keep on going. So
right.
But I can understand where you coming from too, where you saying with some women, y'all don't have that. I get it.
Yeah. And I know my friend has said also that, you know, because I was like, you know, self-care. It's like, what self-care does men have? You know, y'all can get your nails done and hair done and blah, blah, blah. I said sometimes self-care is just sitting at home doing nothing. Sometimes self-care is going to get a massage or going to a football game or taking a weekend trip. Like, man, you can have self-care. That is a thing for you all, too. But it's just, it's more normal for women to do it. And talk about it more so than men. You know what I'm saying? Whatever your method is, like I told him, you go out to eat by yourself every Friday, right? That's your time away. That's your zen moment, your relaxation moment. You may go to the park and walk. You may go to the gym. That's your self-care time. You know what I'm saying? But I think because self-care seems to be tagged on the women more so than men, men don't always feel like they can have self-care. Because like you said, they feel like they have to keep going and going and going. And when monkey don't stop the show, like if he ain't doing what he needs to do as a man, then A, B, C, and D may fall to the side. But if I don't do as I am, as I'm supposed to, as the all for my household, then we gonna be out on the street somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So,
and I can get that. I can get that. And for men, I kind of agree with them. It is hard for us to get self-care.
Right.
But that's why I do something, Tevis, you can be a test to it. On Saturdays, I do something that's called Self-Care Saturdays. Mm-hmm. Where, like, I'll go to the gym on Saturday morning, work it out. I'm not eating healthy at all that Saturday. Mm-hmm. Doing whatever I want.
Mm-hmm. You know. Some women only have a short time for a pity party. Men have to learn how to have selfish moments for their own mental health. Yeah. And that's completely what I said, you know, shared with him. Like, you have to have time for yourself. You have to have time for yourself. You have to be okay with saying no. And knowing that, especially if the people that you're supporting and helping are of sound mind and body.
They're going to get it.
Hustle. Because I do. So I don't really have pity parties for people that is capable. You know what I'm saying? I just don't. Because if I can get it, you can get it too. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, Carla, I agree. Men have to learn how to be selfish with their time and learn the power of no.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We do. We definitely do. I would agree with that. All right. Let's go to these next questions. Sometimes I hear the word boundaries and think physical boundaries. What other boundaries are there?
So there are rigid boundaries, which I learned keep other people at a distance, even loved ones. Maybe you refuse to talk about your emotions with your partner or really set aside time to meet with friends. So it's kind of like just that hardcore, no give, no bend. This is what I'm doing, and there's no give, right? Right? And then you have weak boundaries, which you develop when you have a hard time saying no to other people. For example, you may be willing to take on all the responsibilities in a relationship or on your job, or maybe you tend to overshare information about yourself when you're talking to strangers. You know, you meet people and they just tell you all their business, and you kind of like, why is she telling me all this? Like, I don't want to know all this. So those are people that maybe have weak boundaries, right? So those are the two boundaries that, you know, of course we know you can have really stern boundaries and really weak boundaries, but to know that that's actually a thing, then that's what I know.
I agree with that. Another boundary that we have is mental boundaries, mm-hmm. where it's like you mentally blocking off certain people and certain experiences. Mm-hmm. There are people that I cannot stay on the phone with for 2 or 3 hours, mm-hmm. because I know all they're going to do is complain.
Yeah.
And I'm at that moment to where now, if what you're telling me is not adding value to my life, mm-hmm. and not adding influence and not pushing me to where I want to go, then yo, let's go. You ain't for me. I saw a video yesterday where this pastor was talking about the circle of friends that you have. And he said he grabbed 4 people from the audience. He grabbed some people from the audience and told them to form a circle. Mm-hmm. So as they formed a circle, he was in the middle, of course. He said, no, your circle is to help you go where you are supposed to go. When I tell my circle I'm going left, my circle is supposed to go left with me. When I tell my circle I'm supposed to go right, they're supposed to go right with me. Mm-hmm. When I tell them I'm going back, they're supposed to go back. When I tell them I'm going forward, they're supposed to go forward. Mm-hmm. He said, but the problem becomes when your circle becomes a cage. And you tell your circle, yo, God is telling me to do this. And you try to go in that direction. And your cage is telling you, God ain't telling you to do this. He ain't telling you to do that. And you are starting to believe what they are telling you. Mm-hmm. So at this moment, I'm looking for a circle and not a cage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. I have happily set up boundaries for over the last 2 years so I can focus on my healing. People say some things, but their actions show something totally different. For sure.
For sure. I agree with that. And actions definitely speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. It is. Somebody can tell you a million times they for you, but their actions is going to show you like, yo, you know what? They really riding with me.
Mm-hmm. I agree. This next question we kind of answered. Is it harder for the family members to accept the boundaries we set for them? And we both agreed that they are. It's harder for family. And, you know, I think sometimes we have to be firm but kind.
Definitely.
When you build your boundaries with those difficult family members, it can be like more effective to do it with kindness instead of with an argument or fussing or demanding. You know, that anger or defensiveness will only like get them stirred up and cause them to lash back out, and then an argument is going to start. You know, lead with kindness, and that to me will lead to a likelihood of them respecting your boundaries.
I would agree with that 1,000%. I would definitely agree. Because that's something that I've had to learn within these last couple of years is mm-hmm. where I'm like, you know what? There's some people I'm not just going to argue with no more.
Right, because
arguing with you. I ain't doing nothing but stressing me out. And you get mad, I'm getting mad. I can't even focus on the rest of my day because I'm pedoed at you.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm refusing to do that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you end up giving too much of your power and your energy. And I think it makes it hard, too, because these are people that we have interacted with our whole life, right? Our whole life in this certain way. So it can be hard to, like, introduce a new mode of interacting with people, especially if they know you to be this person. You may get, oh, she's too good, or, oh, they got this new person, and now they acting brand new, or, oh, you know, she's better than us now, or he's better than us now. But you know what? Boundaries. That doesn't have nothing to do with me being better than anybody. Otherwise, it's just me being intentional on taking care of me. And if you love me enough, you'll respect my boundaries. You know what I'm saying? That's so it does get uncomfortable, like I said, because, you know, when people are used to you being a certain way all your life, it's kind of like, okay, did she really tell me? Did she really say that to me? You know, but.
And it's like, yeah, I really said it. And I'll say it again. The answer is no.
Right.
Right. So let's look at this next one. What do you think are the pros and cons of rigged boundaries? Describe an area in your life where you had rigged boundaries.
So
rigid, my bad. Rigid.
That's okay. Rigid boundaries. Like I said, I think if you feel in your spirit that when you're around somebody you're uneasy, then to me, you know what you need to do, and that's not be around that person in certain capacities, right? It doesn't mean that you don't have to ever be around them, but that one-on-one interaction may not be good. It may be better to be with them in more group spaces. I have situations like that. I mean, people that I think a lot of that I just can't tolerate certain things. I have to position myself in the right environment and it have been the right mind frame. So maybe that could be rigid. With some of my loved ones, I've had to say, hey, when you answer the phone like this, a certain way, then that makes me feel like this. And if you are not in the space to talk, then you should say that up front so we can get off the phone and not an argument start for no reason. You know what I'm saying? So I think sometimes a rigid boundary is, you know, your tolerance. And if you have to disconnect in a moment or handle yourself, if you know you're going to be in their space, you know, maneuver accordingly, I think that is okay. So for me and to me, creating that rigid boundary can seem kind of cold or standoffish, maybe.
But it ain't personal. It is personal because it's personal for me because of the simple fact I'm just not going to allow anything and everything in my space anymore.
Right.
I have set new boundaries and what you are doing is affecting me. And one of the things that I hate is that old cliche, what goes on in this house stays in this house. But if what is going on in this house is affecting me in a negative way to the point to where I can't even function outside of this house, then no.
Yeah. I agree. I'm trying to think if I've had to create rigid boundaries at any of my jobs. Well, I do, especially since social media is into play. Now, my current job, I have two of my coworkers, but they are attached to my business page and not my personal page. But I don't allow any of my coworkers on any of my jobs while I'm working there to be on my social media pages because that's a boundary. You don't need to know everything. I get to live my life.
Me and there's right? Home me.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is, I'm really big on that. And is it another one? I am guilty, but it's something that I work on personally, and I like for people to show me the same respect. Cutting off people. And so you, like I did earlier, cut you off and I was like, oh, excuse me, go ahead, right? Because I recognize when I do it. I feel like we cannot respond correctly if people to continue their thoughts, right? So I don't know if that would be like a rigid boundary, but that is something that I try to be a stickler on for myself. I hold myself accountable because I am guilty of doing it sometimes, because I know we get eager sometimes. We don't mean to, and we cut people off, but mm-hmm. I try not to do that, right? And if you say, hey, let me finish, I'll fall back because I'm like, oh, shoot, I cut you off. My bad. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I give people the power to do that. So I think it's important to allow people to finish their thoughts, right? So you can respond accordingly. So maybe those are two of the major ones that I have outside of the family members. I told you I didn't want to be in a relationship, mm-hmm. so I don't want to hear nothing about it. So yeah,
I agree with that. Because there's some. I think one rigid boundary that I have was there's one cousin that would always complain about her relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But then she would go right back to this person and still stay dealing with him. After about the fourth time of hearing her complain and her going back, I finally told her, I'm like, when you get hurt this time, because it's bound to happen. When you get hurt this time, I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, do not bring him around me. Don't do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, because at this point, I don't even want to see dude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because everything that you've done said about him, every time I look at him, I'm like, it breaks my everlasting nerves. Because mm-hmm. all I can think about is, this dude ain't.
Mhm. Yeah. What are some of the pros do you think come with having a rigid boundary? Having rigid boundaries. Some of the positives.
The positives is you get peace.
That's right.
The positive is better health.
Mhm.
Mentally and physically.
Mhm. Yeah. What are some of the cons? Some of the negative things come from that?
People are thinking, oh, they think they better than everybody now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they think just because they have this kind of money, they better than me now. Mm-hmm. No, it's not that I'm better than you. Not at mm-hmm. all. What I'm saying is I refuse to still deal with toxic situations. Right.
Yep, I agree. We have to make sure others respect our personal boundaries, and we have to be clear what those boundaries are. We do. We have to establish boundaries early on, for sure, in relationships. I mm-hmm. agree.
Yeah. You have
family, to. Family, friends, children, coworkers.
You have to. If you don't set those boundaries early, you are allowing people to treat you any kind of
That's
way.
That's right.
Go ahead. You was talking first.
No. You were talking.
Go.
No, I don't forget what I was going to say. Go ahead.
I am one of those, in all honesty, that I am one that'll stay quiet. I used to stay quiet. For mm-hmm. a while. And then when I finally get to that boiling point,
mm-hmm.
it'll be like the littlest thing. Mm-hmm. And then I snap. Yeah. And they like, that made you snap? That ain't even the thing that made me snap. That thing could have been small. But it was the swall that broke the camel's back. Yeah,
that's how my daughter is. I'm trying to get her out of doing that, though, because it's so unhealthy.
It is. I'm not going to lie. It is. Because I've done that before, but I was like, it was the smallest little thing. And then, boom, I snapped. We didn't know he was like that. We didn't know he had that in him. And me, I try to keep it hidden, but it was just the smallest little thing. Mm-hmm.
But that's what it is. That's all it takes sometimes, especially when it's built up.
And it was like, that little bitty thing was like, that's all I needed.
Right, right. Yeah. Was this next question for me or you?
I think it was me.
Okay.
When setting boundaries, what are some things to ask yourself?
What are the behaviors that are bothering me that's coming maybe from this person or situation? What are things that I want in my personal relationships? What are the things that make me feel good? What are some of the qualities maybe that I admire about people or this person? Maybe sometimes asking how you like to spend your time and what makes you feel fulfilled, right? So when I was writing this down, I was thinking, what do I want from people in my circle? And as I meet new people, what are some things that I want to look for? God-fearing people, positive people, people that are that have goals, that are shooting for the stars, that no matter how old you are, you want to continue to push yourself to be great, that you want to constantly grow and evolve. You know, it makes me cringe when I hear people that may be certain ages and they say, I'm too old to have goals, or I'm too old to change, or I'm too stubborn. No. If you are physically able and you have a sound mind, you are, and you're still in this world working, you have to grow. You have to pivot. You have to move, because if not, you're going to get left behind. You can't, right? So I think about what I want to see in people that I put in my space, because I want people to pour into me and I want to be able to pour into people. We know advice is just that. It's advice. You can take it or leave it. But when multiple people are giving you this advice, to me, that means it's time to grow. It's time to grow. Pivot. It's time to mature, right? And especially when the people don't know each other. So I think about what I want. And especially now, walking into this 2024 year, given life experiences, not just last year, but just life as a whole, like, I'm done settling. You know what I'm saying? It's like, poo or get off the pot. You know, you can't disconnect or get rid of your family, or you shouldn't, but I can love you from a distance and I can limit my interaction. That doesn't mean that I ain't gonna rock with you, still be here to celebrate you, support you, nurture you, take care of you. I am, but there's gonna be boundaries in that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely.
To me, just figuring out what you need in your life, and if that person is, those people are able to give you that, right? And me and a couple of my friends are going through the thing of family, realizing family and friends are jealous. And who wants to think family and friends are jealous of you, right? Who wants to think that or feel that away? Unfortunately, your family can be the worst ones. You know, I have honestly sometimes had friends support into me and support me more than my family has. You know what I'm saying? So it sucks to feel like your friends or your best friends or your family have some type of jealous tendency towards you, but they do. You know, I had somebody to tell me, a family member, like, I'm so jealous of you. What? No, don't say that. You're not jealous. And they were like, well, I'm not jealous of you like that, but no, because you have A, B, C, and D. And although I don't have those things, I'm not jealous of you. Those are things that I aspire to have one day, but I'm not jealous of you. Like, let's celebrate each other. Let's support each other. You know what I'm saying? So, so yeah, those are things that I look at when I When setting boundaries, those are some of the things that I look at, things that I need personally. Go ahead.
For me, what I look at when I'm setting boundaries is, where am I at in my life right now? Where am I going in my life right now? I take a look at where God is taking me right now, what I'm doing right now, where God is taking me. Mm-hmm. Take a look at it. I view it and I figure out, okay, what is going to distract me from getting to that ultimate destination that I know God is trying to take me to?
Right.
And if it's going to distract me, that is a boundary or that is a deal breaker for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Carl said, we have to make sure others respect our personal boundaries, and we have to be clear what those boundaries are. Facts. It's very hard for teenage girls. I'm trying to really work on that with Anissa. I already know. And yes, ma'am, Tevis. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am, for sure.
It's hard. It ain't easy, but.
No, it's not. It's not. I think, you know, some of the questions that questions to ask, I would say, like, when setting boundaries, is like, what's happening, right? Am I comfortable with this interaction with this person? How close am I to this person? What would be the outcome if I set the boundary, or what would the outcome be if I didn't set the boundary, right? What can I do? What can I do to make myself comfortable without hurting their feelings, or and without me stressing or like completely saying, I just can't tolerate it, right? I also think that, you know, with the whole healthy boundaries, especially with families, you know, sometimes we got to step back and reflect, right? We have to think, and we have to communicate. Like I said before, communicating your boundaries calmly and clearly. And if somebody violates your boundaries, how are you going to handle that? You can give them a chance to, of course, to correct it, but if somebody violates that boundary, if you give somebody a boundary, James, how and they violate it, how are you going to handle that? How would you handle that?
For me, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to have a conversation with them. And I'm going
to
tell them.
Do you think you'll do it immediately, or do you think you'll have to wait a minute?
For me, I would do it immediately. Well, it depends on what kind of attitude I'm in at that moment.
Right, for sure.
If I was in like a good attitude and I know this person did not mean to do it, I'd be like, yo, remember I told you that was a boundary of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how they react to that statement shows me, are they going to be in my life forever, or are they just going to be in my life for a second? You know, I heard Madea say this one time. Tyler Perry say this one time. People are like trees. Some of them are like leaves on the tree. Some of them are like branches. And some of them are like roots. And you got to figure out where each person is in your life. And that's you can't you can't keep treating everybody the same.
Oh, that's a fact. That's a fact.
Because let's be real, there's some people that I can talk business with. I have friendships that there's some friends I can talk business with. There's some friends I can talk about God with and business. And there's some people that I can talk about God with. And then there's some people where I can get on the phone and I don't have to, or I can hang out with, and I don't have to be Reverend Glover. I don't have to be JAC 3 Ministries. I can be James, and we can just hang out, have fun, crack up, and just chill. And then there's some where I can do all of those with that person. But where I mess up, where a lot of us mess up, is we try to put everybody in that same group. You can't.
You can't. I tell people, each of the ladies that are going to be in my wedding have a different role in my life. Each one of those ladies hold a special place in my heart because they bring something different to me. And I appreciate that, right? I appreciate that from each of them. And to answer the question that I asked you about somebody violating, I think it depends on where we are, if my blood is boiling over or not. sometimes I could probably say, girl, you know you was wrong, or that hurt my feelings, or do you think that was nice to say? And then sometimes I may have to step away because I may get a big knot in my throat, can't talk, or I'm boiling too much that I'll probably have to come back a day or two and talk about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a talk about it. I'm not a person that sweeps stuff under the rugs. All cards out on the table is how I choose to operate. I am a realist. I speak in fact. That is everyone. And it's me. I function, and that's how I can go to sleep at night with a clear mind. Do I always do it the right way? Probably not. But I'm also okay with apologizing to people if I come off wrong. And I give people the power. If I hurt your feelings or something didn't land on you the right way, tell me. I don't know if you don't tell me. I can't correct it if you don't tell me. I can't grow and be a better person if you don't tell me. You feel what I'm saying? Even if it hurts me, tell me. Period. So that's kind of how I would, handle that. Again, with those healthy boundaries, you prioritize your self-care, respect your family members' boundaries if they have any, and know that it's an ongoing process. Because again, they're used to seeing you a certain way, right? Certain way and having you a certain way. So boundaries will be hard for them. Carla, that's why you're one of my sheroes. Thank you, Carla. Thank you, darling. Andrea, I am always willing to apologize now. Me and my daughter had that conversation today as well. That apologizing thing. There's power in saying, I am sorry. And I will apologize to my baby if I feel like I've hurt her feelings or we've argued and it was just too much and didn't have to be. But I've noticed that she doesn't. Do I know that she is sorry? I do, because I know my baby has a sweetheart. But like I told her today, there's power in saying that. Somebody hearing you. You can't just assume everybody knows that you're sorry. Sometimes you have to be mature enough, grown enough, confident enough to open your mouth and say, I am sorry. And that's something that I talk to with my mom about, because she's not always one to verbalize it. She may show me in a different way or show us by giving us or something like that. I don't want that. I want you to understand how you hurt my feelings. This is why it hurt my feelings. Even if you don't think you did, I'm telling you it hurt my feelings. And just say sorry, because that's the right thing to do. That's the Christian thing to do. And now if you ain't sorry, don't say sorry, okay? Don't say it if you ain't sorry. I don't want to hear it. But if you are sincerely sorry, I want you to say that. I need to hear that, right? I desire to hear that. And some people don't care about apologies. But, I think it's power in being mature enough, strong enough, confident enough in who you are and knocking that pride down to be able to say, I am sorry if I hurt your feelings.
See, there's some people that'll say, I'm sorry for how you took what I said, but I ain't sorry for what I said.
And that's okay, too. Because I said that to my daughter last week when we had our disagreement. I'm not sorry for being your coach, for being your mom, for teaching you, for leading you, for guiding you, for giving you this advice. I'm not sorry for that. Now, I'm sorry about how I delivered it, right? That's what I was sorry about. But the things that I said wasn't cruel or harmful or hurtful, but just the delivery wasn't the best, and I was sorry for that. So I can agree with that sometimes.
I agree with that.
I've been like that since college. Have a Carla, girl. I feel like I done lost myself. I feel like I was a much stronger Tevis in college by way of so many things, but life. James, you said that we were going to do something else starting this week. Do you remember what it was?
Oh, yeah. It is the where people send us in like little topics and we'll kind of talk about it. Mm-hmm. So we could do that. We got a couple of minutes or so.
Okay.
Let's do it. I think I sent you a couple of them in your inbox.
Oh, did you?
From the old page.
Let's see.
Before it got hacked. I think one of them was, there's this video of this man that had received a phone call about his daughter walking the streets, and his daughter was like 5 or 6 years old, and the mom was at home, swung out on drugs, laid up with her new little baby, laid up with her new boyfriend. And the man was just like basically downing the child's mother. And everybody on social media was talking about he could have handled that in a different way.
I want to say that I remember that, or if it was, there was one similar to. Now, if he was dogging her in front of the child, then he's dead wrong. Because no matter what me and my daughter's father have been through, I have never talked about him to her or in front of her. Now, she may have heard back in the day, a couple little spats we've had, she may have heard, but I didn't do it in front of her. I tried to go on a different part of her. I even go in my closet and shut the door, right? But I don't believe in that. I don't care if he is the worst man or woman in the world. Children grow to see who their parents are, right? And that's for them to judge, right? Not for us to put these things in our children's head. This is just how I move, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, I would be very pissed if I found out my baby was 5 or 6 years old walking the street and you laid up with your partner and not watching your baby. I would be completely pissed. He had every right to be completely pissed. However, like I said, if he was doing, you know, if he was talking about the child's mom in front of her, then that's a no-go. I don't agree with that.
Like the child was in the car, like the front seat of the car. He's like,
I've seen that
one. I ain't even got a car seat for you. I'm sorry, your mama is a deadbeat.
Yeah. Because he even went over to the mama's house too, right?
Yep.
And he's like,
I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry I'm talking about your mama, but you just don't understand your mama being. It sounds like the mama had been putting him through the wanker. Now, I agree. Like, no, there's a time and a place to do everything.
I agree.
And in front of the cell was not the time nor the place. Agree. So I would agree with that. And another one that everybody been talking about is, of course, since the Super Bowl, everybody been talking about Usher and Alicia Keys.
So look, let me tell you this. I want to see Usher perform live.
Oh, yeah.
I'm more of a fan of Usher than I am Beyonce. No knock against Beyonce. She's beautiful in her own way and she has her thing. But it's something about Usher that I can vibe with, right? And I want to see him perform. Now, we know that a part of his thing is showing the women love and affectionate. I probably almost think that he's probably just a genuinely affectionate dude. Like, that's just him, right? I don't think that he would in any way disrespect her or Swiss Beatz, right? Yeah. I just don't. And what I loved about the situation when people try to make a big deal out of it, Swiss got on there and was like, this ain't what we're doing. This is not what we're doing. This is the negative. Do y'all see, like, these, you know, these people are great. This song is a hit forever. You know, we trying to win over here. We ain't with all the negativity. Much love. To me, that was a mature man. Unlike Keke Palmer's son's father, who spazzed out. Now, if I could sing, I would have been just like Keke, okay? I would have been just like Keke because she wasn't married. Don't get me wrong. I don't think she was trying to be disrespectful. But Usher did this with so many people. And after a while, people should just see that's just a part of his act. That's just a part of what he does. I don't think that he did too much to Alicia, because if you watch perfectly, his front side was just not laid up against her backside. And yes, he was, you know, held her, but he held her respectfully. It ain't like he was just all on her private part. I don't think it was too much. I think it was just enough. She fell into it just enough to where it wasn't uncomfortable for her. You feel what I'm saying? So I don't
my
know.
My thing on it is, us had told you in this song, don't leave your girl around me unless you play her for real.
Right. He said that. He did.
So, I mean, like, if a man lets his, if a woman goes to SSO and a man knows that his woman is going to SSO, then he, that man ought to expect that Usher is going to make his woman feel special.
That's it.
Usher is the Marvin Gaye of our time.
I love me some Usher now. I love it. I was looking at his things and how much his tickets are, and I'm like, Lord, just if I can get the time to go, I definitely am gonna go for sure.
Because I was looking, because I'm an Usher fan too, and I'm like, all right, is he coming to Louisville or Nashville?
Neither. Atlanta, Chicago, St. Louis, maybe.
And I'm like, come on, Usher. I need you to add Nashville, Louisville, somewhere in that area.
No.
And I'm there. I promise you I'm there, bro.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm like, dang, you ain't going to add it. So I got to figure out. Right. All right, do you really want to see us? Because if you want to see him, you're going to have to go.
Right. So we're at our time. And I think just to sum up my part, family issues and creating healthy boundaries, I think that overall, I think that we agree that boundaries are needed with family, friends, and coworkers. And it's not to be rude or to be mean. It is so I can have my mental peace, so I can continue to function and be supportive in the ways that I can. But understand that if I say no, it doesn't mean that I don't love you, but it means that this is not the time, or I don't have it right now, or when you say this or do this to me, it makes me uncomfortable. And I just want you to love me enough to respect my boundaries, right? Love me enough to know that I'm trying to shift and pivot and grow in my life. That doesn't mean that I'm like this completely different person, but what it means is that I'm loving on myself. And I just want you to respect that, you know? So there are rigid boundaries, there are weak boundaries, and there's just safe, healthy boundaries. So if anybody took anything away from this, if you're having issues or problems saying no, if you need to create boundaries with family and friends, do it. And it's okay. Anybody that loves you and respects you and want to see you continually grow and be healthy, I say they will respect those boundaries that you set out of love.
Without a doubt. And if I had any closing thoughts for you, is it will be with this, it will be put your boundaries, set them, stick by them, and don't allow anybody to change them.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that what your boundaries are is what your boundaries are, and you're going to stick beside them.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank to the point.
Right.
So we love y'all. Hopefully by next week, the Facebook page will be up and working. We do have a new Facebook page for the show, but the way Facebook is with StreamYard now, unfortunately, because it is a brand new page, we have to wait about a week or so before we can add it to StreamYard. But y'all bear with us. I promise y'all it's going to be worth it. The way I'm looking at it now with the page setting down on us is God's got something better in store. So I'm just sitting back and I'm in expectation mode now, because I'm like, God ain't going to just set everything, allow us to lose everything for us to not come out of it with something out of it.
That's right.
So I'm just in total stress mode and I'm praising God on credit. That's it.
That's right. I love that.
All right. Love y'all. And we will see y'all next week. Tune into the podcast, though, because there will be a couple of little surprises, new segments, a new segment and an old segment that only the podcast viewers will get. So stay tuned. Love y'all. Peace.
happy, happy, happy February. Yes, this is Angelina Puri coming to you live and in color for your February affirmations. Please repeat after me. I'ma go slow. You come on. Come on in the room. Come on in the room. I am here with Real Talk Monday. I am here to celebrate the Rev. James H. Glover III Ministries to let you guys know that this is the month for love. February affirmations. Ready? Let's go. I am loved. Okay, now you say it. I am loved. Okay, say it one more time. I am loved. Okay, our next affirmation. I am ready for love. I am ready for love. I am ready for love. I am open to love. I am open to love. I am open to love. Love is an attribute of who I am. Love is an attribute of who I am. Love is an attribute of who I am. We celebrate love every day, not just in February. Have an amazing, amazing month. See you next month.